1930, America's first network comedy show went on the air over NBC Radio's Blue Network. It was called The Cuckoo Hour.
Calling all cars, calling all cars. Why? Because all cars need to have their spark plugs cleaned regularly in the new AC cleaner. Just as all car owners need their evening of laughter with Raymond Knight and the Cuckoo.
Cuckoo
over
spark plugs, AC spark plugs.
Cuckoo over spark plugs, AC spark plugs.
Crazy over spark plugs, AC spark plugs.
All the time.
With a worn plug in your car, you never travel very far.
Hey, hey, so it's out with clean plugs. Get a lot of clean plugs, hey, see, get them every time.
Introducing Raymond Knight, King of the Cuckoo. Good evening, folksies. This is Dr. Raymond Knight, the voice of the diaphragm enunciating period. My clowning station is open for business and everybody's welcome.
Hello, Doc. How's Fix?
Fix? She has a little distemper. How's your dog?
I don't own a dog, but I'm thinking of buying a porcupine. Is a porcupine a nice animal?
Well, it has its points. Now that that's over, let me ask you...
Well, a lot has changed since 1930, but one thing that hasn't is laughter. People laugh at pretty much the same things today as they did a half century ago. This is Johnny Carson inviting you to stay tuned, and you'll hear what I mean.
Ladies and gentlemen, over the next 2 hours, the most famous comedians who ever lived join Johnny Carson as he looks back at five decades of comedy on NBC. Whitman's Chocolates, makers of quality box chocolates since 1842, and Delco Electronics, bringing you the art of music through the science of sound, celebrate the Thanksgiving season with another NBC Superstar Holiday Special. Johnny Carson's Half Century of NBC Comedy, Volume 2.
Lucky Strike program starring Jack Benny with Mary...
Live from New York, it's Saturday night!
NBC Saturday Night. Ladies and gentlemen, we give you the funniest man in America, Fred Allen!
From New York, where you can still leave your front door unlocked if you live in a police station, it's Late Night with David Letterman.
Ladies and gentlemen, the secret word is paper. P-A-P-E-R.
Really?
You bet your life. Here he is, the one, the only...
Why didn't this happen 11 years ago when I was 30 years younger?
It's Maxwell House Coffee Time, starring George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Lever Brothers Company presents the Pepsodent Show, starring Bob Hope and his special guest, Al Jolson.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, he...
Well, here it is, Thanksgiving again. And we're back with another sample of the great comedy heard on NBC radio and television over the past 50 years. This time around, we'll be hearing all-time comedy legends like Jack Benny, W.C. Fields, George Burns, and Gracie Allen, as well as relative newcomers like Eddie Murphy and Joan Rivers. But whether it's Bob and Ray or Nichols and May, laughter is the common denominator. If something was really funny, say, in 1945, it probably still is. For example, Jack Benny's character is the world's stingiest man.
Sure is dark tonight. No moon. Oh, well.
Hey, Bud. Bud.
Huh?
You got a match?
Yes, I have one right here.
Don't make a move. This is a stick-up.
Mister, put down that gun.
Shut up. I said this is a stick-up. Now, come on. Your money or your life? I said your money or your life. I'm thinking it over.
Another timeless character in comedy was developed by Mrs. George Burns, Gracie Allen. Gracie played a scatterbrain. Her specialty was illogical logic. It made perfectly good sense, but only to Gracie.
I wonder why Gracie's folks want to sell the house. Gracie!
Oh, George, a terrible thing just happened.
Well, never mind. Why do your folks...
Guess what? I dropped Herman's sardines on your clean shirts.
Oh, fine. Look, Gracie...
And the starch got all over his sardines. Isn't that awful?
look, Gracie, why all of a sudden do your folks want to sell the house?
Oh, well, San Francisco is a long way from Hollywood, and I decided it would be nice if Mama and Daddy and Bessie and Willie didn't live so far away from us.
You mean like in Santa Barbara?
No, not that far away.
Glendale?
No, not that far.
Closer?
Yeah, much closer.
Next door to us?
Not that far away.
Gracie.
You guessed it.
Well, that's without a doubt the worst thing I ever heard.
Yeah, now I gotta get Herman some more sardines.
Oh.
Then there was the legendary W.C. Fields, joined here by Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy.
It's good to see you, Bill. Two things improve with age: old friends and old wine.
Don't mind if I do. Matter of fact, I drink medicinally only. When I feel ill, so to speak.
And how often are you ill?
Oh, I've been feeling poorly now for the last 40 years.
Yeah. Irreverence is another thing that always makes people laugh. Poking fun at authority, deflating the pretentious, are classic tools of comedy. And no one ever used them with greater ability than Bob Elliott and Ray Goulding.
To be successful, you must have a career. You must have a trade.
Enroll now in the Bob and Ray Counterfeiting School. Learn how it feels to make real money.
If you're interested, just write your name and address on a postcard and mail to Crooked, NBC, New York.
That's Crooked, NBC, New York.
Let's take a step beyond irreverence and you get satire. Satire is one of the trickiest areas of comedy and the quickest to go stale. But a performer like Garrett Morris from Saturday Night Live can defy the odds.
Hello, I'm Mark Mbutu from the newly emerging African nation of Namibia, a former German colony located in Southwest Africa. Namibia is an undeveloped nation, and we are appealing to you as world citizens. We need your fondue set. Many people in the United States receive these fondue sets as gifts for anniversaries, birthdays, and housewarming, and often put them up on a shelf and forget about them. There are thousands of Namibian housewives who could cheer up an otherwise dull dinner party with one of these sets. We already have enough of the little Sterno cans for underneath these sets from when the Germans were here, so only send the fondue past themselves. And with little long forks, if you have them. Our address is Fondue Sets for Namibia, Box 180, Namibia, West Africa. And we wish to thank Mr. and Mrs. Norman Prager for sending us the water pick and the deluxe toaster oven. Thank you.
Coming up on Johnny Carson's Half Century of NBC Comedy, Volume 2, Master Humorists Jack Benny and Fred Allen, right after this from Whitman's Chocolates. It's Half Century of NBC Comedy, Volume 2, continues with some all-time comedy classics.
Fred Allen was one of the great humorists of the century. Edgar Bergen and his alter ego Charlie McCarthy once described him this way.
Among the greatest of the radio greats, Fred Allen was always a little over the heads of the masses, always serving caviar to the general.
Yeah, there always was something fishy about Allen.
Well, one place where Fred spooned out judicious portions of his distinct humor was in Allen's Alley. It was an unlikely street he'd visit each week on his radio show. Allen's Alley was home to Senator Claghorn. He was from the South.
That's a joke, son.
Titus Moody, a New England farmer.
Howdy, Bub.
And Mrs. Pansy Nussbaum. These three, played by Kenny Delmar, Parker Fenley, and Minerva Pius, were asked a simple question by Fred as he strolled down the alley each week. And the whole country listened.
The senator's home.
I'll knock and see what happens.
Somebody, I say, somebody knock.
Yes, I know.
Claghorn's the name, Senator Claghorn, that is.
I know you're from the South.
When I'm in New York, I'll never go to the Yankee Stadium.
Now, wait.
I'll even go to see the Giants unless the South Pole's pitching.
Well, look.
I refuse to watch the Dodgers unless Dixie Walker's playing.
Now, wait a minute.
Stop interrupting. Where's your manners?
Manners? I have more manners.
Try listening. You might learn something.
Listen, all I'll ever learn...
Your tongue's wagging like a blind dog's tail in a meat market.
You're winded, hey?
You're sucking in some air, son.
Well, leave a little. I'm breathing too, you know. Tell me, Senator, what is Washington doing about coal prevention?
The Senate reconvened just in time.
Yeah?
I was glad to see Senator Aiken back. Aiken back, that's a joke, son.
I know it's a joke.
That was a scrawny side split.
I wouldn't say
that. That was a Greens Court shrieker.
Listen, you don't know what it is.
I keep tossing them and you just sidestep them.
Well, look. Now, wait.
Say, you're a regular sad sack. Sack, that is.
Now, you wait. Tell me, cool off now just a second. Do you have a favorite cure for a cold?
I caught a cold last week.
Yeah?
Like to ruin my filibuster.
Ruin your filibuster? What did you do?
I took an old southern remedy, son. I drank down 2 buckets of hot mint julep.
You drank 2 buckets of hot mint juleps and you still held the floor?
Held the floor? Son, I couldn't get up off it.
Well, I wonder how Titus Moody is doing this evening.
Howdy, Bob.
Say, Mr. Moody, you look a little tired.
I know. I was up all night. Couldn't get a wink.
You didn't sleep a wink?
No, it wasn't that. Somebody stole my tiddly.
Well, Mr. Moody, tell me, has this cold epidemic hit your farm?
My wife had a nasty cold.
Did you call the doctor?
Yeah. Gall darn quack, give her sulfur and molasses. Put in too much sulfur.
Well, how can you tell he gave her too much sulfur?
When my wife sits in the dark, she glows.
Well, are you doing anything about it?
Why, Senator Claghorn, a foreigner next door... he sent me over a bucket of hot mint julep.
For your wife?
No, for me. Tonight I'm getting lit up to keep her company. Come on, Doctor.
Looks as though Titus is going to get lit up on his weekend. Well, let's see what a knock here will start.
No.
Ah, Mrs. Nussbaum.
You were expecting maybe Tula-lula-lula-bankhead. No.
Tell me, Mrs. N., have you had any colds in your house?
My husband, Pierre, is sick.
Oh, really?
They are maybe sending him to a clinic. The Meyer brothers.
Oh, the Meyer brothers. Well, didn't Pierre try any cold remedies?
Every day it's a new remedy. First, he is bringing home fruit to drinking fruit juices.
What kind?
Oranges, grapefruits, tambourines.
Well, how long did he drink the fruit juices?
One day.
Mm-hmm.
Then Pierre is opening up the window and throwing out the fruit.
Oh, he had another remedy?
Vitamins from vegetables.
Oh, good.
He's bringing home carrots, sprinkler beans, and rutabagos. Well,
how long did he try vitamins?
One day.
One day again.
Pierre is opening up the window and throwing out the vegetables.
He had yet another remedy?
Absolute rest.
Oh.
He's staying in bed.
Uh-huh.
I am bringing meals. I'm bringing pills. I'm bringing hot water bottles.
Well, how long did this last?
One day.
And then?
I am opening up the window and throwing out Pierre.
Allen's Alley is classic radio comedy. I say radio comedy because throughout the 30s and 40s, a style and approach to humor developed particular to radio. It allowed the person listening to participate by using his or her imagination. The fact that there wasn't a picture actually enhanced the comedy by making writing, timing, and delivery all the more important. Here's another vintage example. Jack Benny again, joined by the man who does the voice of Bugs Bunny, Mel Blanc.
They killed my workers and took the mine. I had to flee into the hills for my life. After wandering for days, I stumbled exhausted into a camp of insurrectos. At first, they were suspicious. But finally, one of them came over and shook my hand.
You want to shake hands?
Sí.
Then I consider you my friend?
Sí.
You will always help me?
Sí.
Surprise, he walked away. I turned to go. Someone pulled at my sleeve.
Oh, Senor Irish. Senor Irish.
What is it?
Before you leave, I would like you to meet my little 6-year-old son, Tomas.
Oh, hello, Tomas.
Tomas, he is learning to be a magician. He does a wonderful act on the stage with his sister.
Really? So you're a magician, eh, Tomas?
Say.
Do
See.
With your sister?
See.
What is your sister's name?
Sue.
Sue?
See.
Well, what do you do in your act?
Saw.
What do you saw?
Sue.
Put you up to this. Who was it? You?
She.
Who are you?
I.
Johnny will be back with Flip Wilson, Mae West, and the gang from Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In after this from Delco Electronics. Once again, here's Johnny with more of his half century of NBC comedy, Volume 2.
What we can say and do in broadcasting now is much less restricted than it was in the 30s. For example, Mae West on the Chasen Sanborn Hour in 1937. This program starred Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy and was one of the hottest shows on radio. May's appearance was on a Sunday night in December. The weather was cold over most of the country, so about 25 million people were indoors listening to their Atwater Kents. For you younger folks, that was the name of a radio. What the listeners heard sent them into blue-nosed rages. Thousands sent letters and telegrams to NBC and to Chasen Sanborn. The FCC even started an investigation. And all because of this.
Oh, hello, short, dark, and handsome. Hello, tall, blonde, and terrific.
Say, Charlie, do you smell that perfume?
Yes.
Isn't it ravishing?
Yes, it is. It's ravishing. It's weakening. So help me, I'm swooning.
Mm-hmm.
What is it?
Why, it's my favorite perfume, Ashes of Men.
Uh-oh.
Ashes of Men? Holy smoke. She's not going to make a sinner out of me.
Tell me, Miss West, have you ever found the one man in your life that you could really love?
Sure, lots of times.
Oh,
you look pretty good to me, Charlie. Come here. You ain't afraid I'd do you wrong.
Well, now that you ask, I...
Oh, you're afraid I'll do you right.
Well, I'm slightly confused. I need time for that one, May.
That's all right. I like a man what takes his time.
Well...
Oh,
but May, don't be so rough. To me, love is peace and quiet.
That ain't love, that's sleep.
It's hard to believe now, but the public outcry was so great, Mae West was actually banned from network radio after this appearance. Her exile was to last over 15 years, and for 10 of those years, NBC wouldn't allow anyone to mention her name. 33 years later in 1970, Flip Wilson created Geraldine, an equally outrageous character on his NBC TV show. On one of her first appearances, she was interviewed by David Frost.
Well, Geraldine, I suppose we'd better get started.
Which camera am I on?
The one over there, look, that one there with the red light.
Do they see me everywhere?
Everywhere.
Hello, killer! That's my boyfriend.
Killer.
Whoa! You get.
Promises. Well, tell us a little something about your childhood.
Well, honey, when I was a kid, we didn't have television and all that stuff. The only entertainment we had was hiding behind the couch.
How do you feel about conditions for women in general?
Honey, let me tell you. The cost of living's going up and the chance of living's going down.
You You know that I usually end an interview by asking my guest to give a definition of something like love. Do you think you're qualified to speak of love?
Honey, I paid my dues.
No, but if you don't mind me, for instance, what is your definition of love?
Love is a feeling you feel when you're about to feel a feeling you never felt before.
Geraldine and Mae West. They said just about the same things, but the network and the audience has changed completely. Comedy programs on NBC have always reflected the times, and ever so often a whole new approach to humor comes along. In 1968, as the world got a little crazier, a new sound arrived that fit the mood.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your further listening pleasure, here are the songs of Dan Rowan and the lovely Dick Martin.
The show is Laugh-In, the biggest comedy smash in years.
Good evening. This show is going to be a different show. It's not a regular variety show. You realize that you now have a chance. 1 hour a week, you can do anything. You can say anything you want to say.
You're kidding.
Anything that you
You'll
want to say.
You'll get a kick out of this one, then.
Anything that the censors and NBC and the sponsors will allow you to say.
That does cut down the odds, doesn't it?
Well, the odds may have been cut down a little, but Laugh-In still captured everybody with its fast pace and bright young cast, including Goldie Hawn, Ruth Buzzy, Artie Johnson, Joanne Worley, Henry Gibson, and Judy Carn, who played the Sock-It-To-Me girl.
Sock-It-To-Me, Sock-It-To-me, Sock-It-To-Me,
Sock-It-To-me.
Now, folks, it's
Sock-It-To-Me
time.
Oh, blimey. They did it to me again. Now I got it socked to me by Henry Gibson. Pretty much in the usual way.
Each week, Laugh-In had regular features, like Sock-It-To-Me time and the party. The party brought together the whole cast to dance and chat, while the Laugh-In camera and microphone zoomed in on bits of conversation. It sounded like this.
I went to a parochial school. We really learned the three R's, reading, writing, and rhythm.
Well, no, actually, it's in Idaho.
Would you mind saying that again?
Idaho?
That's frightfully interesting. We pronounce it Ohio.
My parents say I don't know what good, clean fun is. And they're right. I don't know what good it is.
What would you say if I told you I'm willing to do anything to have children?
Adopt.
It's like this. If you like Burbank, you're gonna love Paris.
Now, the Mormons had the right idea. It's just a shame that polygamy never caught on among the married people of this country.
Now, you shouldn't make fun of polygamies. They can't help it if they're not told.
Johnny will be back in a minute with a presentation on...